Well, good morning. Everybody awake and joyful this morning? I hope so. So we're going to be continuing the series on the fruit of the Spirit, and Paul so graciously gave me joy. And to be honest, it was hard. It was hard because this Bible right here, I mean, I don't know about y'all's, but in mine, from the front to the back, it just screams joy all the way through it. I mean, it's just a story over and over again of redemption and salvation and just, I mean, a fallen man, fallen individuals, fallen nations, just and God comes in over and over and over again and saves people and just, and what, I mean, just nothing but joy over and over and over again. So it was really hard to narrow down. I mean, it was, if I were to just keep on talking, I'd probably up here about 6.5 hours and so I'll try not to do that, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. So any good pastor is going to start out with, when they do this, they're going to talk about happiness versus joy. Do y'all understand what the difference in happiness versus joy is? Anybody? Everybody? Yeah? Okay. Well, happiness pretty much is, it's rooted in the Latin word hap, which means chance. So it's basically up to chance, up to just the circumstances, the chance happenings, should you say. Joy, it doesn't matter what's going on. You can still have joy no matter what the circumstances, no matter how bad things are, you still have joy, which is kind of hard to wrap our minds around, how you can still have this inner joy no matter what's going on. It's hard to, you know, so happiness you can buy, you can, you know, all the advertisements are trying to sell us happiness. That's what all our world is consumed with. Even our Constitution is written in there, the pursuit of happiness, right? We're supposed to be pursuing happiness. And so you can buy happiness. My wife actually bought me my Dodge Charger a year ago. And when I got it, I was super happy. I mean, it's got all the, you know, it has that new car smell, and it's everything's perfect, and even, it's got the big screen with all the cool stuff. You plug your phone in, and the GPS, you know, pulls up, and all those cool things. And now it's been a year now, and now my phone doesn't plug in quite right and doesn't connect to the system, and it's really aggravating every time I get in there, the chances of it actually happening, you know, and me being happy with it. And then my wife took the car yesterday to go see my granddaughter. I have a little baby granddaughter. And, of course, had a blowout. So now I got 3 tires that are worn just right, and then I have 1 that's brand new that's... So it's not right anymore, right? I'm still happy, I guess, content, but I'm not happy with it. You know what I mean? But we're going to be talking about joy, not happiness. We can throw happiness, I mean, whatever. We can buy it, we can sell it, but we're going to be talking about joy. So let's go with our main verse for the series, which is Galatians 5:22-23. And it's, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many of y'all memorized that? Everybody memorized this list, okay? Okay. when I first read this, it kind of threw me off. It's like the fruit of the Spirit is, and then this list. And I'm like, I'm pretty good at English. I mean, may not sound like it, but I'm pretty good at it. And it should it be R? If you're going to list, I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love, period. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, period. But no, it's the fruit of the Spirit is all these things. And it does not even end with there. I mean, we're going to cover 9 of these things, but it doesn't end there. It says against such things. So it goes on beyond this. Right? And the reason why it says is because this is all one fruit, the fruit of God. It is like, as image bearers of God, we're supposed to be. This is the attributes of God, the characteristics of God that we're supposed to be carrying. And the only way you can do this And my title of the day would be Walking with God, right? But in our nature, Paul actually, before he puts out this passage, not Paul the preacher, but Paul the apostle, before he does this, you know, we got this but, so we need to go back. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, he says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." There's a bunch more. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Whew, man, that's hard. We will not inherit the kingdom of God if you're doing these things. If this is what's naturally coming out of you, then you're not inheriting the kingdom of God. That's a hard, hard thing. But then he goes, that we can connect with God and be walking with God somehow. And he says this in Galatians 5:25, how we cannot do these things of the flesh. "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit," or to walk with the Spirit. And there's all the different ways and different aspects and different sermons and different lectures and things I've read and this week and listened to this week. This is what it all boiled down to. All the different ways you look at this, it all boiled down to right here what Paul is telling us. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk, keep in step. And this immediately pulls up in my mind the image of the footprints in the sand. You know, where we're following Jesus. We're walking in his steps. We're keeping in walk with him. And that's the only way we can have joy have all these fruits is by walking with him. Now, you know, Sunday nights, it's a little advertising. Sunday nights, we're doing a Bible study, a walking through the Bible study every Sunday night. And we're starting out in Genesis. So my mind right now is full of Genesis. I'm just focusing on Genesis. So I'm going to start out in Genesis in the descriptions, of course. And from the very beginning, like I said, this Bible's full of joy from front and back. In the very beginning, of course, we saw Adam and Eve falling. Not so great. We saw Cain and Abel. That wasn't so great either, right? But we come along in this little section in the genealogies, and we see Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, in Genesis 5:24. Just this mysterious, in the middle of this genealogy, we have this little story which mystified even the people of Jesus' time, and they actually started writing the book of Enoch. You've probably heard of that before. Started writing this because it was so mysterious and so awe-inspiring that this man walked with God so much, and that he actually just, God just took him. And one day we'll all be just taken. We'll all be with Jesus. So that's what we had to look forward to. But how wonderful is that? How joyful would you be if God just snatched you up right now? I mean, that's a story of joy right there. But how did he do that? Why did God take him? Because he walked with God, right? Then we got Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God in Genesis 6:9. Now, if I was rewriting this, kind of like that Passion Translation where that pastor started rewriting the Bible, if I was doing the same kind of thing, I would probably write, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, because," I take that period out and put a because, "Noah walked with God." And this is, I mean, the joy that Noah found, when we get to the end, after he's built the ark, he was obedient to God, built the ark, rains came, and he's on that boat for a year. It's got to be kind of frustrating with just his, you know, immediate family and in-laws and all, for a year on this boat. Finally gets ashore, and what's the first thing he does? He praises God and does, and out of joy and gratitude for God, does a sacrifice. Out of the limited supply of animals that he had on that ark, he took from that and still gave to God out of gratitude and joy. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing story of just walking with God. Then we got Abraham. Of course, God didn't even give him a chance. He just told him straight up, this is what you need to do. He told him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. And he did. He did. He told him to walk with me, walk before me, and be blameless. How do you be blameless? This is before Jesus. You know, Jesus died on the cross and made a way for us to be right with him, right? As long as we accept him, we are blameless in God's eyes. But even before then, these men were walking with God, and God saw them as blameless. This has been a story from the beginning all the way to the end. And what joy comes from that, you know? Okay, so how do we walk with God? Let's just break that down a little bit. If we go to the master himself, Jesus, how does he tell us to walk with God? And he tells us in John 15, he has a whole chapter on this, of how to walk with him. Right here in John 15, 4 and 5, he says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit, you know, these fruit of the Spirit, by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Now we can do a lot of the stuff of the flesh. but as far as of anything of value, you can do nothing without abiding in him. And what does that word abide mean? It means to walk. But it means more than just to walk with him. It means to obey him. It means to dwell with him, live with him, be with him. And he wants to be with us. Whereas it goes both ways. Now he continues in John 15, 7 through 8. If you abide in me, in my words, these words right here, abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And these fruit of the Spirit, when you're showing the joy, when you're showing these things, it is proving that you are who you say you are. When you walk out these doors, are you the same person that you are in the church? Are you the same person through the week? Are you abiding in God and walking with him throughout the week? That's something we really need to check ourselves on, right? So he continues on with another point, John 15, 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. So he tells us how to have this joy, right? To abide in his love. And not to just keep that love to ourselves. And this is where we're going to go to the next. And by abiding in his love, when keeping his commandments, what are his commandments? In John 15, 12 through 14, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So he's commanded us to love. And this is how we get joy, is by loving others, right? Let's go on to 15 through 17. No longer do you call yourselves servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did this, you do not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name may be given to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And this loving God, loving and abiding in his love, extends out and pours over into loving one another. And as we focus on community this year, we need to keep this in mind. This is a commandment of God, that we stay in community, that we are loving one another. Friday night, we went over to Howard's. And if you know Howard, he's always smiling. He's always got that joy just pouring out of him. I don't know if that's just for me because he likes me or what. I don't know. but as far as between me and him, he's always smiling. He's always just it's an amazing thing. He had a few other the pastoral elders and stuff over, and we got to play games and got to know more about each other and just spending time in community with each other. It was just a great time, and I felt that joy in that time, spending time in the body of Christ, spending time around people that love God and love me and love, and really feel accepted in that body of Christ, right? And then what really got me at the end was when Edwin got up and he's like, "Let me pray over you first." And if you know Edwin, he's a stocky guy like me, and he gets up there and it's just like with this authority, grabs hands and I don't know if it's a missionary thing or whatever, but it was like just you could feel the love and joy and everything. I mean, just it was a powerful moment, and that's the kind of love and joy that we can have as a community as we spend time together, spend time in His Word, spend time just like Jesus said, if you're gonna love me, you're gonna spend time in my Word, you're gonna do my commandments, which is to love each other. What's our model here? To love God, love others, and make disciples, right? And that's we need to be living that. And that's where this joy comes from. In doing these things, this joy comes out of that. All right. Real quick, I'm going to kind of shift from when I was studying all this stuff, I found this thing called the Heidelberg Catechism. It comes from Reform doctrine. We're not Reform people, but it was really, really cool. And it has a couple, the first two questions of this catechism are just so in line with this. First question is, what is your only comfort in life and death? And y'all can read this along with me if you want to, but it's pretty cool. That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall off my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to Him. Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. And then the second question, that's wonderful. That's just the gospel, right? What else do we need? Is this gospel message. But it goes on from there. The second question they have in this catechism is, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? And there's three things. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am set free from all my sins and misery. And third, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. Now, the world doesn't want us to focus on this first one. The guilt, the shame, the coming to grips with who we are, our fallen nature. But even when Paul brings up the fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, he contradicts that with what our nature is, right? And the guilt, we have Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? We need to accept these things. This is where you find this joy. You first have to be broke down to figure out that I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. Never will be good enough. And everything good comes through Him, right? For the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that second one. How how I am set free from all my sins and misery. He goes, this is the grace of God, right? Ephesians 2, 4 through 10 tells us, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he's given this, it's a free gift. It's a free gift of grace. So we start out with realizing and accepting we ain't good enough. And then we get the grace of God and accept that grace. It's a free gift, but we have to accept it, right? We have to accept it. And then this is where the joy comes in. The joy comes from the gratitude from God's grace. Just like Noah giving that sacrifice after he was saved. He was the only family, you know, him and his family were the only ones saved. Just like in that moment, we can have that same joy. And here's a couple from Psalms. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For he who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. I mean, I think we overlook a lot of times the miraculous God that we have, that's the saving, the salvation part. We have that moment of salvation when hopefully everybody in here has come to Christ at one moment in their life, right? And you had that happy moment, the joyous moment. But it should be a continual thing, a continual remembrance of God's grace in our lives and how he saved us. And we should be living in that joy as we're walking with him and talking with him and praying with him and just living life with him. I wanted to, you know, wanted to end out with focusing on Peter in the boat. Remember, they're in the boat, they're out in the storm, the winds are going crazy. And they're paddling. And actually in Mark, I love how Mark puts it, where Jesus came out there on the water and was just going to walk on by. Matthew didn't put it that way. But when Jesus saw him, he's like, calm down, guys. I got you. And then Peter's like, if that's really you, right here, starting here. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Now, Peter, this is how we need to be. We need to be not only walking with God, but being able to step out of that boat when we see him. And as long as we're keeping our eyes on him, keeping and abiding in him, then we can walk anywhere he sends us, even out on water, you know. But as soon as we take our eyes off, as soon as we're not abiding in him, we go back to the flesh. We go back to start sinking, right? That's where we start going back to the what was it, Galatians 19 through 21 list, which is not a good one. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. When we're walking with God, we need to keep our eyes on Him. But even if we don't, even if we do fail, He's got His hand reaching out for us. And all we got to do is grip a hold of it, and He'll pull us back up. So this is where we find our joy. We find our joy in walking with God through whatever's going on. And I want to leave with this one little acronym. Y'all probably heard it if you grew up in church. It's new to me because I didn't grow up in church. But what's the acronym for joy? Jesus, others, and yourself. It's a list of putting Jesus first and then others, all of us, right? Putting all y'all next and then ourselves. When we start focusing on ourselves in the inverse, which the world tells us to do, then we get it all screwed up. Father God, thank you for this message. Thank you for just making a way for us to, and even from the beginning, showing us that if we walk with you and abide in you, that we can have joy. We can have true everlasting joy and the comfort and hope of the future, that everything will turn out just awesome, amazing. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross and just making a way for us. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.